After the Soviet Union collapsed in 1991, a lot of things changed in all the former Soviet republics, including Russia. For one thing, Russians began a new love affair with coffee. And one of the people who brought gourmet brew to Russia was an American entrepreneur. He started what became one of the largest coffee chains in Russia. But then he moved back to the U.S. to start over. Alina Simone has more.
Sitting at a table under the awning of a shopping plaza in Rohnert Park, California, Chris Terra Brown is holding a business meeting.
So when do we want to start serving the tacos, you think?
Okay, you return Monday in the morning?
No, I return Sunday. I'll be back.
Chris and his assistant manager, Pablo Cesarte, are discussing plans for his new venture, Unity Cafe, where he plans to sell third-wave coffee, artisanal sandwiches, and killer tacos. But right now, the modest hot dog stand facing the parking lot still bears its old name.
Chuckles Hot Dog Stand, man. Chuckles Snack Shack, I think is what it's called.
The last time I met Terra Brown was 10 years ago, under very different circumstances. We were in the middle of Siberia, and I was a customer at his popular cafe, Traveler's Coffee. See, Terra Brown is a California native, but he's a coffee king in Russia. He opened his first coffee shop in Novosibirsk back in 2000. Within 15 years, Travelers had become a chain with more than 100 branches, stretching from Ukraine to China. For coffee addicts in Russia, or expats like me, Travelers was a godsend.
The coffee situation was brutal. It was two scoops of, you know, Pele or Nescafe.
Terra Brown didn't know anyone when he came to Siberia. He didn't even speak Russian. He took the trip on a whim. It was 1994, a little over 2 years after the Soviet Union dissolved, and Chris was 25, a struggling music producer.
As I was on this Trans-Siberian train, I was like, this is where I want to be. This is it.
Chris ended up meeting a Russian woman, getting married, and finding work with another American who opened Siberia's first pizza parlor. Then one day, Chris walked into an Irish pub in downtown Novosibirsk and ordered a cappuccino.
And it started going, and it spat out this black liquid. And I was like, oh, that sucks, you know. And it was just one of those moments. 3 steps out of this place, I'm like, coffee house. And it was at that point I was possessed.
To most people, bringing gourmet coffee to Siberia sounded like business suicide. The year he started, the average salary hovered around $400 a month. And at $3 each, a cappuccino was a luxury. But Terra Brown saw a Russian public hungry for international goods.
I go, would you like to have a great cappuccino? I don't even know what a cappuccino is. I don't even know what that is. It sounds great. It sounds Italian, you know? And so it was just amazing.
Business took off, but between Russia's volatile economy and Siberia's brutal climate, it wasn't always easy. Chris recalls one winter when his first 10 stores were almost out of beans.
When I'm talking to our roast masters, and he goes, there's no coffee. Well, what do you mean there's no coffee? And he's like, we can't take the container off the train. I'm like, what are you talking about? The cranes don't work in minus 40 degrees. They'll break. The cranes will literally break in minus 40 degrees. And I'm like, ah! I'm just absolutely, I'm losing it.
By 2015, Terra Brown had created one of the largest coffee chains in Russia and turned Novosibirsk into a version of Seattle with its own roastery and barista school. So why did he leave?
I was just tired. I was like, oh my God, not another crisis.
But Terra Brown concedes there were some internal issues as well.
A former partner of mine got in his mind that he needed the assets more than we did and started forging documents and doing a bunch of really insane things. And, he's striving to take over the company.
Chris insists his departure wasn't a case of politics Russia style, a polarizing Western businessman being pushed out in favor of native talent. He says he was already planning to come home. Nonetheless, it's been an adjustment.
Yeah, I had some clout, you know. People knew me, and it was kind of a cool thing. It was kind of a rock star.
Here, he's a bit of a coffee Rip Van Winkle. After all, San Francisco has also changed a lot in the past 21 years. Today, it's an epicenter of the artisanal coffee movement, a scene Chris feels is due for a correction.
The coffee movement has gotten way too foofy, hipster. If you don't know what the Yirgacheffe Amaro Gallo, you know, direct lot is, then you're out. It's like, you shouldn't be ordering here. Get out of here.
that snooty vibe won't be a problem here at the mall in Rohnert Park. If there's one thing he's bringing back home, it's Russian hospitality. For The World, this is Alina Simone from Rohnert Park, California.